Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
The wait is finally over. Football is back. You might not be at the game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. They have some interesting prop bets that I'm looking at right now. Will an NFL coach be fined for not wearing a mask? Yes, plus 110. No, minus 150. I would bet yes. Another one is, will an NFL game be postponed due to COVID? Yes, plus 500. No, minus 900. I would say down the line we might see one. That might be a decent bet. But from game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any place online. And there is always the online casino as well. It never closes. So head to betonline.ag today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Again, that's betonline.ag and sign up today. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Everybody, welcome to another version of Bill Roden on Sports, here with a full complement this time. I'm here in Midtown Manhattan at a soon-to-be vacant location, probably by December. Yeah, great day here in Midtown. The great Jamal Murphy, once again, in Brooklyn. Murph, what's up?
What's up, Bill? Yep, I'm still here in Brooklyn, still working from home, still, I guess, quarantining or whatever you want to call it. It's been how many months? It's been at least 6 months and change.
Are people ever going to go back to your office?
Not anytime soon. Maybe like the middle to the end of next year.
I guess the question is, do people want to go back to the office?
No, you know, it depends too on what happens in the election, because you see Trump's trying to force people to go back against their will. You know, get that herd mentality.
Trust me. And then, of course, we're joined by the wonderful Aaron Mathewson. Aaron, producer extraordinary. Hello, Aaron. How are you?
I can't even tell who you are. No, it's good. I'll say I'm coming to you from my new spot in Washington Heights. Very excited. So it's beautiful outside, so I like that. Great.
We're very excited for you.
Yes.
New spot. Do you have a view of anything?
The street.
That counts.
Yeah, but I get a lot of sunlight. That was part of the draw.
Oh, that's good. That is great. That's great.
Couldn't do
but welcome
that.
To the neighborhood.
Thank you.
Sarah, to the west side. You're on the west side now.
The best side.
Exactly.
That's right. Well, welcome. So listen, man, there's a whole lot of stuff to unpack. You know, the Clippers collapse. I don't know. What do you guys think? What's the by the time people listen to this, the Lakers will have already played game one against Denver. And my thing is, I want either the Lakers or Miami because I don't want to hear about Jokic. Trust me, if Denver wins, Jokic, he seems like a nice guy.
Exactly.
But, you know, it's just always we got to deal with this white hope stuff. And it's not. It's my issue is not with the white athlete.
Right.
They're just going, but it's always this
the white media right.
That's always creating this great white hope. In other words, I even heard somebody, even with a guy before, who in Dallas, the last
Luka.
It's not enough for everybody to say, oh, yeah, he's really good. If it's a white guy, he's got to be the best ever. You know, or we got to listen to this stuff until they get crushed.
You didn't hear that Jokic is the best big man passer ever. You didn't hear that?
No, really?
Ever.
But he surpassed another white center.
Well, Bill Walton. Yeah, Bill Walton. But at least Bill Walton won a title.
Very true.
Yeah, but I think that when we use white supremacy, and I'm not going to go any deeper than that, but that's what that means. It's that white people, there's this, they have to be best, the top, in everything, right. Whether it's sports or finance, whatever. So even in sports, in a sport like basketball, football, where then that's where the Tarzan syndrome kicks in, where you've got all these black guys. If you have one white guy, you know, right, that white guy's got to be like Tarzan, got to rule the jungle, you know. So it's
Tarzan, Tom Brady, whatever.
Wait, when was the last most amazing like white basketball player?
Tarzan?
Larry Bird, probably. Larry Bird.
Okay.
With Larry Bird, Larry Bird was at least easily arguably, you know, the one of the best players in the league, you know, one of the two best players in the league at that time. You know, he won like I think two or three. Did he win like three MVPs in a row?
Something like, well, no, two. Actually, it's two because Giannis is I think he joined five others as back-to-back MVPs. I think Jordan, Bird, I think Magic, Kareem, and some others. But so listen, what do you think? What you know, the hottest sports story now? The Clippers collapse or what?
Yeah, I think for me, it was. I mean, and you know. You know how sports is. It only takes a couple of days, you know, a day or two for us to move on to the next issue.
Right.
But I guess until tonight's game, when Denver finally plays the Lakers and we can move on, I think the Clippers collapse is the biggest story because it was huge. Just so shocking.
Shocking.
I mean, you know, it's not really shocking that Denver won the series. It's just the way it happened. The Clippers up 3-1. They basically showed us that they were the better team. And then they just completely choked. And it also, part of the story is Kawhi. I mean, all of, you know, everybody, the myth of Kawhi Leonard being, you know, the great, especially in the playoffs, like he never, you know, he always shows up in the big moment. And right. In this moment, he did not show up. I mean, 0 points in the second half. I mean, before this, people were saying he was the best player in the league. A lot of people were trying to make that argument. And I don't think you could make that anymore.
No.
Right. Well, you guys remember when Rob Parker was on here, he was like talking about how Denver, he saw them going all the way. And I was like, no way. And since the beginning of the season, we've been hearing the Lakers Clippers matchup. Like that's what everybody, and I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Is that happening?
That's why they play the games, right?
Yeah. I mean, they were up 3-7. Now what I find fascinating when you start hearing the people killing Doc Rivers, all of a sudden, you know, because the media loves Doc because he's, you know, he's good. But right. Now they're killing him. And they talk about all his collapses. Right. But I'm thinking, okay, he's got all these playoff collapses in these conference series, but they don't kill Brad Stevens, all these other white guys. Well, let's not make it a black and white thing. But the point is, Doc gets there. You know, right. I mean, he's 3-1, but he gets to these playoff series. Right. Where the other coaches don't even get there. Right. To blow a series. So, I don't know, it's kind of like, to me, it's like Jesse Jackson tells a joke that when they, because he was on a boat with three other people and somebody dropped their watch in the water. And so he got off the boat, walked on water, and got the watch. But the headline was, Jesse can't swim.
Right. Yeah. No, that's great.
Yes.
So Bill,
does that, so you think that the criticism of Doc is not necessary, or you think it's over?
No, I mean, I think you should. I mean, you know, I mean, seriously, you're up like 19 points, something like that. Then you lose, and then you look at your history, and you lost a lot. I think you got to call it out. But also, if you don't call out, there are other coaches who don't even get to that point.
I get there.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so, no, I mean, I think you got to crack them. But, man, I mean, you guys are right. I mean, Kawhi didn't show up. Paul George has not been showing up.
Right.
At all.
Right. You could have predicted that. Like, you know, it would have been predictable. Oh, you know, what if Paul George doesn't show up game seven? What happens? And then you would have just said, oh, well, you know, Kawhi will have to make up for it. But, they, you know, I just think when the rest of the Clippers saw that Kawhi wasn't going to show up, they were like, oh, we're out of here. Like, why even try? Because that was they lost by 20 points in the game seven. Like, you didn't come to play. Like, you gave up.
Right.
So, how much do you guys think, when you think about the bubble, do you think, because remember Paul George has said that he was really, it's apparently really took a toll on him. And what do you guys, I mean, do you think it's possible that for some people being in one place, even though it is Disney World, for like, how long is it? Two months?
At least, yeah.
July to, months. Yeah.
A long time.
Yeah, it's a long time.
July to September. Yeah. I mean, this season is going to have an asterisk by no matter what. And I thought, you know, I'm glad they got Pat Beverly back. You know, at first I thought they were going to be a shell of their normal team. But also, isn't that part of being a champion is you kind of just like deal and persevere? Like, okay, I'm not obviously an NBA athlete, but.
No, I agree.
You're a runner.
And a figure skater.
Like in a marathon, I mean, like if it rains, it's too hot.
You gotta do it.
Yeah, like, right.
Yeah, right. Somebody's gonna win.
I mean, you ran and stayed in shape during quarantine. It wasn't easy, right?
Right.
You know, you had to think of, you know, different ways to go about your business. So yeah, I think.
Was Paul George's issue? Was it that I heard he was like looking at the social media comments too much.
I mean, that happens wherever you are. I guess if it's not a quarantine situation, you're not in a bubble, you can do other things to take your mind off of that stuff. Yeah. But I mean, that's part of, you know, in today's NBA, that's part of becoming a champion. You have to block things out. You can't listen to what other people have to say about you, media, fans, or other players. It doesn't matter. You know, that's like the part of becoming mentally strong. Now, so that's an issue for me too, because a lot of, like, when he said he was having some issues, people said, you know, people talk about mental illness. So does it become a situation where you can't, where it's untouchable? Should we even be talking about this because he put it in that context?
That's a good question. I mean, I thought people, you know, when he said that he was really in a dark place and things like that, and it's almost like, and maybe I was like that too, when you talk about that stuff, it almost gets too deep that you don't really want to touch it. But, you know, and nobody really dwelled on it, you know, publicly say, man, and is there enough, I wonder if they have like psychologists or therapists in the bubble.
They do, I think.
Or that people could talk to, say, man, it's, you know, it's deep. You said they do?
Yeah. No, they do.
I remember who was it who knocked Dak Prescott when he was saying stuff about
Skip his Bayless. Brother. Mm-hmm.
Like that was uncalled for. I think no matter what, when you're an athlete, your mental state is always like a question. It's a huge part of it. Like how well you can stay in the game, whether you allow, I mean, a dark place. I feel like that's not to take anything away from Paul George, but like that's ambiguous to me. I mean, I go to dark places when I run. Yeah. I don't know. So I guess it just depends on what that means. I don't want to take anything away.
Yeah. Well, what does that mean? I mean,
yeah.
Your dark place may be you're just at 119th between.
Stop it. And sports psychologists they're necessary. I think it's a fine line.
Yeah. And I mean, having grown up playing sports competitively, one of the things I marvel at of all pro athletes is the mental game, because you don't get that far if you haven't at different levels mastered that, because you can't be successful, especially basketball. So like, you know, you could be mid shot and if something comes into your mind, some kind of doubt or anything, you're going to miss the shot. So, I mean, I always marvel at pro athletes of you know, already having that mental strength to get as far as they have.
Right. The focus and stuff like that. So but you know, this is such, as you guys said, this is such a unique experience to be down at that bubble. And, you know, because I keep thinking, you know, normally, okay, Boston went down 2-0. Okay. Then you say, okay, now they're going to go back to Boston or they're going to go back to this place. But all they do is go back to the same spot. And I'm wondering if there's a benefit to that, playing in the same spot, the same gym, the same rims, the same stuff, no fans. And I'm wondering, you know, like people are even saying without the travel, because I don't know what you guys think. I think the level of competition has been phenomenal.
Oh, yeah. You can't tell any difference. And that goes for all the sports. I mean, even football without the fans, you know, they're playing just as hard. The U.S. Open was as competitive as I've ever seen with no fans. So, yeah, I think competition-wise. But as far as the NBA bubble, Yeah, there are. The only thing I can say is that all the teams had to go through it, right? Everybody had the same situation, so no one has an advantage per se. But there are obviously. I don't think you can argue that there would be different results if this were a regular situation. I mean, even with Milwaukee, you think that they wouldn't have been helped by, you know, being able to go home and have their fans cheer for them, or any team. I think it's tougher. I think it's tougher to change momentum in the bubble. Like, you lose one or two games and you don't get to change the atmosphere. You don't get to change anything. It's like how do you change the momentum?
Look at Denver.
That's true. They did it.
They changed the momentum. They're down 3-1. You know, they're down against Utah, right? Changed the momentum.
They did.
So, can we talk quickly about Rajon Rondo's brother?
Yeah, that was funny.
I was like, talk about a fan. I know there are rules, but I was really impressed.
Oh, you were impressed by you? You were happy that he was talking to Westbrook?
Well, he was on a screen, right? Like, I was surprised Westbrook even caught it. I guess I didn't.
No, he was actually in the bubble.
He was there.
He was in the bubble. Oh, I thought he was a fan on the screen.
No. You were allowed to have family members and close friends. You know, as the playoffs went on and less teams are in the bubble, that you start to be able to invite family members and that kind. Okay. So it was a select few family members that were in the stands, but they had given him rules, like you're not allowed to heckle and all this kind of stuff. And he couldn't help himself because Westbrook and Rondo got
him. Do we know what he stole, what he said to Westbrook?
No, something. It must have been something.
Didn't he wave bye-bye? I thought that's what he did.
That's one of the things he did, yeah. No question.
Whatever it was, it pissed Westbrook off. He
did.
Apparently, Rondo's brother was like the head of the barber, like he was running the barbershops in the bubble. So he had like an official position also.
Oh wow. How did that happen?
Nepotism.
I don't condone breaking the rules, but I was like, wow, that's a fan right there.
Speaking of Denver, and you know, Bill, you mentioned they somehow, you know, figured out a way to change the momentum. So moving forward, they must, you know, you got to give them credit for what they were able to do, even though the Clippers did collapse. Denver took full advantage. I mean, they blew them out. It's not like it was a close game. Do you give them a shot versus the Lakers starting tonight?
I do. I mean, it just seems what we've seen is that almost everybody's got a shot.
Right.
You know, because you've got the same building, everything is the same. So it's really like going to the same playground. Like, every, you know, it's like this one playground where everybody goes. And that's like known as like, you know, when Brooklyn is called what, the soul in the hole, or going to Rucker Park, or, you know, and that's like the hollow ground. So now that court is just hot. That's like the hot court where everybody goes to run, you know. And I think given that, man, I think that court is like hot. Yeah. So, you know, everybody knows it now. Everybody's familiar. There's no like, oh, we got to go to we got to go get used to these courts in Milwaukee, or we got to go. Hey, we got to go to Milwaukee.
Right.
You know, something like that. Or we got to fly all the right way from Milwaukee to cross country to go to L.A. L.A. all the way down to Miami.
Right.
And then you get to Miami and 2:00 in the morning and you do, you know, none of that. So I just think, you know, and this is a brother, what, Murray?
Yep. Jamal Murphy, as people call him.
Yes.
Murphy, yeah. Your brother. So, you know, what do you think, Aaron? I mean, who, if you had to get odds.
I love an underdog. I don't see it for Denver, but I am happy to eat crow. I feel like the spirit of Kobe is too great. I feel like LeBron's not gonna. He's not losing this.
Yeah, I hear you.
That's the thought. I mean, somebody just did the Road Fellows first podcast, and one of them mentioned L.A. and the spirit of Kobe. And honestly, I had not really thought about that. That idea of doing this for Kobe.
Once that happened, I thought he did something, and I was like, "Oh, it's on because of this."
Right. So, and is the point you made, Bill, about, you know, the court and people being used to the court? I thought I was thinking about that from the beginning of this bubble. like guys like LeBron, like it almost seems unfair to give to let him play on the same court or courts over and over. I mean, just like one of the smartest basketball players ever. You think he's not used to his surroundings, like knows the rim already and knows, you know, it just seems like almost unfair. But, you know, all these guys are professionals. So it's, I think, like I said before, everybody nobody has an advantage over the other.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the only thing I say about the Lakers, and I thought just a while back when they were going through their doldrums, the history of that franchise is that eventually they always come back. They always come back. And they always come back with a couple of great players. Right. You know, Chamberlain, you know, Jerry West, Baylor. Actually, George Mikan. You know, when they moved from Minneapolis to the Lakers. And then there was a period, then you come back with Chamberlain. Then you come back with Jabbar and Magic. Then you come in, they've always had this, the Shaq.
Yeah, Kobe and Shaq, yeah.
So to me, it was just a matter of time, and now they're back. Now you got LeBron and Davis, you know. So I do like seeing that. That franchise coming back. But like you said, man, I mean, I'm just intrigued by the whole this concept of basically a summer AAU games. All these games played in one spot. And, you look at what baseball is going to do with the World Series right. And the playoffs. Right. They're going to basically be in one, they're choosing one spot. And I'm just wondering, what do you guys think? Do you think that this could be a model? Now, I can't see the NFL do it because those guys are too greedy.
Yeah. Right? And they don't care about – they don't care.
Yeah. You know, we're going to have everything in one spot. You know, no.
Yeah, yeah. No.
Well, that's what the NCAA is for their tournaments. They're talking about a bubble.
Right. Yeah.
I think this could be the future. I don't think – this is not the last pandemic we're going to see.
That's true. So. At least we know what to do when the next – if there's another pandemic in our lifetimes. I got to give a shout out to Major League Baseball for doing that, you know, because they've been a little shaky in their response. You know, all kind of teams have been infected with COVID, and at least they made the decision in the end to go to a bubble format. It. So I give.
What's that format they're going to play? The World at the Texas, new stadium, and then somewhere else. They're playing.
Right. Yeah, I don't have it in front of me. But they narrowed it down. There's not going to be as much travel. At least they did something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that, as opposed to NFL.
Right.
They have these guys fly all the way cross country and letting stands. They said actually some people at the Kansas City game actually tested positive.
Well, you don't say.
17,000 people.
Yeah, you don't say. I'm shocked and appalled. But I am appalled. But we'll get back to NFL in a second. But before we leave the NBA, you got the Heat and the Celtics. The Heat are up 2-0. The Heat are one of those teams that, you know, the average fan is like, how is this happening? They don't have multiple superstars. Really, you know, how did they even beat the Bucks? And now they're up 2-0. They look like they're headed to the finals. A lot of people give them no shot, you know, if the Lakers get there. What do you think about this Heat? This Heat team.
Butler's a Virgo, by the way, Aaron.
Uh-oh. Oh, wow!
September 15th. So that
explains so much.
That explains it all.
That's the answer. I think they're. It's been so fun to watch, and if it ended up being Miami Denver, I would not be mad. That would be really.
That exciting. Would be the ultimate bubble championship, Denver Miami. Something nobody expected.
And I would just like to say right now, I would like us to have like a finals watching party, like outdoors, of course. But
I haven't found a place that I could outdoors that has, you know, that you can watch games. I haven't seen that yet.
There's a place in Harlem. I'll send you the address.
There's always a place in Harlem. You talk about the beer garden.
I need to find the name. I was just walking on where was I on Adam Clayton Powell, and I found it, and I was like, okay, I'm coming back.
Yeah.
Well, you know that.
Be careful out there, Aaron.
Yes.
well, she's a Harlemite. She just that's moved true. From the east side to the
east
west.
East to the west. Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's true.
What you'll find in Washington Heights, though, although as it gets gentrified, Washington Heights they'll have the World Series on. Because it's largely Dominican.
Right.
You know,
right.
And they have some soccer on because, like, Dominican, Mexican, all that stuff. but you'll be hard pressed to find like the NBA. I found the weirdest thing. I would go into like a place, you know, there's a restaurant. In fact, it's on a Broadway and like 156th or 7th. And I go there, you know, and it'd be like a great football game, or and they have like some soccer game on.
Right.
You know, and I'm like, shit, what? You know, that's a bring on gentrification, because at least, you know, they understand, you know, the gentrification, you know, they basketball and, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, that reminds me, I was in Columbus, Ohio years ago for something, and it was like basketball playoff season. And I tried to go into different bars, and all they had was hockey on. No basketball at all.
Wow.
I was like, where am I?
Yeah, that's even worse. Like, damn.
It is worse.
Because that's all like a political statement, you know. Yeah,
I had to go right back to the hotel room.
That's right. Order your chicken wings and take them out.
But the Heat, you like the Heat? Like, you like their chances?
Yeah. Now, I think that, you know, when you were saying that, I don't think they're giving up that too. That there's not going to be any of that Clippers stuff.
Oh,
when
no.
these guys come back, no. I think that door, they're going to just like grind them.
Like they did to Milwaukee.
Yeah, there's none of this coming back and all that. And I guess, yeah, I don't know, man. Miami, yeah, because, you know, Mickey Loomis, the owner of the team, is a huge Trump supporter.
Yeah.
So, which makes me kind of, I go Lakers. I mean, you know.
Well, we don't know, like, who do the Laker owners support?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, the owners, see, there's a whole difference between they own these teams and they're black players, but that is who they support financially.
Right.
And many of these multi-billionaires are in bed with who's ever in the White House.
Mm-hmm. Right. If they care, you know, we know they care about money. And if you just have a, you know, tunnel vision about your money, you're probably a Trump supporter.
Yeah, and so, you know, so I got to say, well, who are you for? Well, I'm for LeBron, or I'm for Jimmy Butler. I'm for, you know, because you don't know at a level below, you know, the plantation owner, where do they give their money to? I said, well, you know. But no, I like either Miami, or I just think that could be really Miami Lakers could be good. But
yes.
I don't know about you, Aaron. Miami, Denver, I just think the NBA would just say, wait a minute, we spent all this time playing bubble for this?
Yeah, we put how much money? Like $1 billion into the bubble for this?
For Denver?
And to get no ratings?
Yeah.
You know, because the average fan would be like, Denver, Miami, I don't know any of these guys.
I mean, they might be able to hang with the NFL if it's like you know, L.A. and maybe Miami.
Or L.A. Boston, probably.
Or L.A. Boston.
Ratings-wise, L.A. Boston is what you want.
Right.
But yeah, you know, Miami. Right. But yeah, I just keep hearing all these Laker fans saying, oh, we're home free. We don't have the Clippers now. It's our championship. And I'm looking at this Heat team, and I was rooting for Boston. I'm rooting for Boston just because I like Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Kemba Walker.
Right.
I like the team. They're young, and I want them to have some success. But I'm like, that third quarter, that third and fourth quarter against the Heat. I mean, the Heat, I've never seen a team play that hard on defense. Like, the plays that Jimmy Butler was making on defense were like things it was just like, I couldn't even believe it. You see that where he saved that ball from out of bounds behind the back? I'm like, I couldn't even believe he wasn't out. I was like, what? I was like, there's no way they can win if they're doing stuff like this.
No, you're right. And I've been listening to this on radio. But I'm like, the announcers are going nuts, man. on with teams playing defense.
right.
It's just, normally it's like offense. So these guys play hard. But you heard about the fight or whatever in the Celtics locker room? Ooh. Apparently, I don't know if it was a fight, but
Marcus Smart was yelling and screaming. They said they heard chairs being thrown. Right. To me, that's a good thing. Like, I'm like, first of all, that's par for the course in a competitive locker room, that there's going to be, after you lose, that people are going to be upset and argue with each other. That's fine. Yeah. I would be more worried if it was just quiet and reserved and like, hey, we stink, we're done.
Right.
I want arguing. And so I heard people say, oh, well, they're imploding. No, they're not. Don't tell me they're imploding until they come out like the Clippers did in Game 7. Then I'll be like, oh, you're right. They imploded.
Right. So we'll see. But I just a bit impressed overall about the competition, like you said, in all the sports.
Right.
And I don't know. I think there's this whole thing of fans. I think fans tend to like kind of jerk themselves off a lot about, yeah, about how important they are.
Right.
But I don't know, Aaron, how would you feel if you were to run, you run the Boston, you run marathons. How would you feel if the next marathon there were no fan, no spectators?
Nobody giving you water?
Yeah, nobody.
Well, that's different.
Nobody makes sure you have water.
I think for running, I think especially by the time I'm finishing the race, I'm not sure how much it matters to me. But I feel like other stuff, like sprinting, shorter things, I feel like games, I feel like they matter.
Yeah, well, yeah. Go ahead, Jamal.
No, what they've shown us is that, true athletes, and I'm sure if you were running, like you said, once you're competing and running, you're thinking about what you have to do, and, you're not thinking about anything in the outside world. And I think that's what we've seen from all these sports that don't have fans right now. It's not affecting the level of play.
Right.
And in fact, some people argue that the level of play has been higher. I saw when I was watching the U.S. Open, a couple of the commentators, I think it was like Chris Everett, said, she thought that the level of play was higher because the players were less distracted by the fans.
Oh, interesting.
And we're just so, much more focused.
Yeah, I'd agree, because just think, fans, particularly in sports like tennis or basketball, where you could hear stupid stuff.
Yeah, yes.
Just really dumb stuff. And right. You just eliminated that bullshit. You eliminate all that stuff. Just the drunken fan and all the shit in the stadium. I'm actually glad. Because I think fans had gotten to the point where it was like ridiculous.
Well, speaking of stupid shit, let's talk NFL.
Yeah.
And we were talking about the fans. You said the Kansas City fans already tested positive for their fans at Kansas City tested positive for COVID. I mean, yeah, I'm looking at there were six of the 32 teams that said they were going to allow fans. Now I think it's up to 9 teams are saying that they either have or will this next game allow fans. And I'm looking at where this is. The Dolphins, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Indianapolis, Jacksonville, Tennessee, Denver, Kansas City, and Dallas. All these places are struggling with the virus, even now, where a lot of states, other states have come down a little bit, like New York, for instance, is doing great. If any state should be having fans, you should say New York. There's only 300 cases per day. But no, people in Kansas City, Missouri, their curve is still on the uptick. They still have over 1,000 cases a day or 1,500 cases a day, something like that. And you're allowing fans on top of it? Ohio, the same thing with Cleveland and Cincinnati. Indiana had some crazy spike, and Indianapolis is allowing fans. We know about Florida. Tennessee is bad. So it's almost like the worst your state is doing, those are the teams that are allowing fans.
It's all money driven. And I guess, I know that horse has left the stable, but we're in this environment. We've probably been here for a while, where, again, the highest values of our society is money, not your health. So you make all these decisions based on money. The Big Ten makes the correct decision, I thought, to say we're canceling fall sports. Then they get a call from the president and said, what the fuck are you talking about? These are like my battleground states, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa, so I go to the game. And now he's kind of, could show all the people in the state, he's a tough guy.
Right.
But he had his brother, Kevin Warren, who probably led a moral initiative, said, no, we got to, and he gets his calls, man. I don't know. I'd love to hear what that conversation was like, but there were threats and leaning on presidents and all these people, the governor, to pulling all these levers. And his brother, this commissioner is kind of like out there, and they basically outflanked him, outvoted him, said, oh, man, we playing. This is election season,
Right. And because of the other school, like the other conferences, the SEC, the Big 12, the ACC, they kept it moving and played. So kind of, so then you have a weekend and you see those teams play and nobody drops dead on the field. So, now people are pressuring, like, what's going on? We don't see a problem. Come on, Big Ten.
Yeah. And then, like you were saying, I think it was you, Jamal, like we're talking about the NFL, you know, and you don't, I don't believe these numbers. I mean,
right, right.
And it's almost, you could see as political as all this become, they're probably not going to let you know numbers.
Right.
As people get sick and all that, they're probably not going to let you know real numbers, how many people are really getting sick. It's right. Kind of like, it's like almost like this, the scrap heap.
Right.
Just kind of scrap, you know, and all this really.
Yeah, I wonder about all that stuff. The numbers. How can you trust the numbers? We are the NFL used to hide the concussion information too, of course. And yeah. You know, if you can't trust numbers coming from the CDC, I'm not trusting the NFL.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. And you're right. You know, the CDC. There are these reports how the numbers were being manipulated and hacked. You know, so I just have a feeling in the NFL, you know, you're not getting real numbers.
So yeah. Also, guys, you know, I think there's a fine line between what your government is willing to do and what the fans are willing to do, because I've had some conversations with some New Yorkers. We are not all on the same page. I've met people who I see people who don't wear masks. I see people who have complained about having to shut down the country for COVID. People say I actually heard someone say healthy people don't get sick. Here in New York
City.
What
does that mean?
I don't know.
You're not healthy until you get sick.
So, some things I was like, oh, interesting. But I'm just like, wow. So even in New York, where I would think that it was so bad here, everybody would be on the same page. We're not. We just happen to not have fans.
Right. No. It's not uniform anywhere. But I would say New York, at least, like, you know, you go out on the street, at least you see about 70% of people with masks on. At least. So,
and you see a lot of all the sides, like there's, it's like,
right. We still don't have indoor dining, as far as I know.
Not yet.
I think it's coming, right?
Isn't it, that is, coming? It is supposed to come.
September 30th. Yeah.
It is supposed to come. But how about on the field, Bill? On the field NFL, the story of week one, I thought was Cam Newton. And you actually wrote an article about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. That's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at Cam Newton, mm-hmm. you know, in New England. Yeah. They go to Seattle Sunday, which I think is going to be something. But, you know, I'm looking at Cam, and it's funny. In the next 5 weeks, I they're going to play Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson, Pat Mahomes.
Wow.
You know, yeah, so I'm like,
so
damn, Cam. I got my fingers crossed for you.
If that's not motivation for him, I don't know what is. You
that's
know?
Right. It's like all his progeny. All the people we are coming back to, like, kick his ass, you know?
I know.
It should be great.
Well, he paved the way for all of them. And I just think it's a perfect, like, especially after seeing week one and seeing what he was able to do. You know, he passed, you know, he didn't pass that much, but it was like 15 for 19 for 155 yards. But then 75 rushing yards and two TDs, controlled the game, got the win, you know, pretty easily. To me, that just shows it's a perfect fit for him and Belichick. Like, Cam has always been a winner. Like, that's the main thing. When you watch Cam on the field, like, he can beat you with his arm. He can beat you with his legs. Sometimes his stats aren't the greatest, but it's about winning. Like, he usually comes away on top, even at Carolina. So I think, you know, a coach like Belichick, you got to just love that. And what'd they get him for? Like, 30 cents? You know, something crazy. Like, they didn't even pay $1 million for him, I don't think.
Coffee.
You're right. It was so low.
So yeah, I think it's a match made in heaven, and I could see New England being right back in the Super Bowl. I could see it, but this time I'm rooting for him.
You're right. He won't hear. And it'd be great if Tom Brady somehow gets it together.
Right.
They meet.
Oh my God.
That would be great.
That would be awesome.
You know, I
would try to go to the Super Bowl for that one.
Not me.
No.
No. Well, yeah. No. That would be worthwhile. You know.
And you know they have fans in the Super Bowl no matter what. At least a few.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the hell's going on. You know?
I mean, by that time, February, who knows where we'll be? We already talked about the Big Ten a little bit. Looks like the Pac-12 is going to follow them if they can get. If they can get the states of California, Oregon to give them the go ahead from not just COVID, but also the wildfires and the air and all that stuff.
I know.
You know, Houston and Baylor just canceled their game this weekend because Baylor failed to meet the COVID-19 cancellation threshold. I think it had to do with was it trace testing or whatever you call it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so.
So many players had it?
Some players had come into contact with people who did have it. So, I mean, I guess that's a positive sign that they're willing to cancel these games if there's an issue. So they're being careful, I guess. I mean, I think that's a plus. I saw a lot of right wing Twitter handles very upset that this game was canceled and no one without someone testing positive for the disease, supposedly.
So, guys, are you feeling like essentially this is just money? Because I saw so many pundits like happy about it, and I was like, should we be happy about this?
Right. Of course, you shouldn't. Of course, you shouldn't. Yeah.
You shouldn't. I mean, to me, it's. I was elated to see the Big Ten and Pac-12 say no, and then to have this pressure put on them say yes. It's just so politicized, and I just think it. It just when you look at the direction of the country, it's just unfortunate, you know. And you're exploiting young people. These players, they don't know. They just want to play,
right?
You know, I mean, I get that.
I'd want to play too.
Yeah. I mean, like your children want to eat dessert all the time. You know? Right. They want ice cream every single day.
Right.
You know, pie every day. And so, you know, if I'm running for mayor or governor, I say, oh, yeah, give pie every day, you know.
Right.
So, I don't know.
No grown-ups in the room.
Yeah, right. Or you, yeah, so we'll see. We'll see. But, you know.
We never talked about Naomi Osaka, who won the U.S. Open and wore 7 different masks. One for each 7 different people, 7 different black police victims.
Jamal, before we go there, can we just really quickly, is it true that Deion Sanders is going to coach for Jackson State?
I did see that.
I think that's amazing. I should have to say, since we're calling.
No, we should talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but I hear it. They're working it out, so I guess it's not final. I'm just like, wow, good for him.
Yeah, I know he was doing some high school coaching.
Mm. Okay. Oh, cool.
Well, also he's had his thing with his kids and all that.
Right.
So, I mean, I think it's good.
Yeah.
You know, it's great. It's great. You know, great. Now, once he has to start coaching.
Right. We'll see.
Right. Are they playing this year?
I doubt it.
Okay. So this is not even for right now. This is okay.
Yeah, I'm not 100%, but I know most of the HBCUs are not playing this year. But as far as Osaka, how do we feel about her? She basically. You know, she becomes out of nowhere like a spokesman. You know, willing to put herself on the line. You know, showing, you know, what her train of thought is about all this stuff. And then, you know, just to say from day one, I got 7 different masks I'm going to wear where I represent these victims. And then to actually play all 7 matches and win the U.S. Open.
Well, you know, she won't be going to the White House anytime.
Well, good.
No invitations, sir, but. You know, I mean, just way to step up.
Right.
You know, just the way to step up. And, you know, I mean, the way entertainment is, athletics, I mean, the, you know, U.S. Open, NBA bubble, NFL, where it's become just so widely visible. And you know that anything you do will get that, you know, I'm wondering when somebody's going to wear a presidential message, like a Biden, Harris. Like a Biden-Harris mask or
right.
Something like that, you know.
No, I was thinking about it. Well, now's the time. But I was thinking about it because I was watching the warm-ups, the NBA warm-ups in the bubble. And, you know, they all have the T-shirts now say vote on the T-shirts. And I was like, it's funny that just the word vote is basically a political argument now. Like, we know what it means. It means vote. Not for Trump.
Right. You know, you're right. So you're right. And they know if any particular black people have vote, they're like, you know, no. They know exactly the vote and not for you.
Right. So, yeah, the next step.
I think it's great.
Yeah. You know,
vote and then fight against voter suppression. What do you mean? Yeah. What's wrong with voter suppression?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I think it's great.
Do you guys remember, I'm really fascinated by Naomi's kind of evolution. Like, I don't remember her coming out as so hard for being Black for the first US Open or when we first got to know her. So I love that she's kind of embracing this because she didn't have to. Like, you know, we know a lot of mixed race Black folks who...
Yeah, they're in the tennis game.
Could have been Kablan Asian or whatever.
Yeah, Madison Keys.
Right.
Yeah. She won't be wearing no mask like that, you know.
Right. But no, Osaka, even like the year or two before, she was always quick to talk about her father, who's Haitian.
Okay.
She grew up basically, I think, in Long Island and then moved to Florida to play. So she's an American, really. And her mother's Japanese. And so, she's always, showed love to both sides of who she is.
Right. Which is not only understandable, but it makes sense.
Right.
Yeah.
I think as opposed to hide,
Right.
You know, that's what's bizarre. We have plenty of, Kaepernick.
Right.
Nicole, right?
Yeah, Nicole Anna Jones.
Yeah, Nicole Anna Jones. You know, mother's white, father's Black. You know, she clearly is, calls herself a Black woman. You know, so I think that you could hide behind these things, just to not have to take a stand.
Right.
Before we get out of here, continue to listen to the program, to the podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcast. Make sure that you rate us and review us and continue to, continue with those good reviews and definitely interact with us on social media at Bros Pod on Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah. What's your handle, Jamal? People want to hit you directly.
Yeah, you can hit me directly at Blacketologist or just look up Jamal Murphy on there. And Bill, what's yours?
On Twitter, at WC Roden.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm Erin on air, E-R-Y-N on air.
Yeah.
And can I just say real quick, the semifinals for the WNBA playoffs are this Sunday. I think it's going to be pretty awesome.
Yes, semifinals in the wubble.
In the wubble.
The wubble. I think the women have been doing it.
Oh, yeah, they've been doing it. It's Connecticut versus Las Vegas and Seattle versus Minnesota.
I don't know Seattle. It's not promised to Seattle, so this is exciting.
Yeah, I like Minnesota. They've been more, but the whole league.
Yeah, the whole league.
The whole league is just, the competition's been great, but they've just really taken activism to a whole nother level. Hey, listen, Jamal, Erin, it's been a blast, as they say. Go L.A., go Miami. New England and Seattle, hey, man, I can't lose.
Right.
Either way, I win. Yeah.
You heard Belichick. Belichick said that, looking at Russell Wilson, he thought he was, one of the most underrated players he's ever seen. He's like, there's nobody that's better than this guy.
Yeah. He said, including Brady. Well, the whole thing with Belichick, this whole campaign is to I could take my guys and beat you, and I could take your guys and beat you. So that's what he's trying to show Brady is that, while you're down there, fumbling around with that ass,
Arians. Right.
I'm going back to the Super Bowl with this guy, So Cam is motivated.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
He's definitely motivated.
Yes.
He hasn't changed his wardrobe though, which is a little disappointing.
No. That's his thing, right?
No, I'm just half joking.
Yeah. Anyway, listen, I'm sure we'll have a lot to talk about next week. So Jamal. Erin, congratulations. New spot.
Ah.
2 days. Welcome to the neighborhood.
Thank you.
And, get those poles out the way and get some pictures and photographs.
Yes.
But you got time. It's going to be very exciting to see how you decorate your new digs.
Bill, you're very good at decorating. I'm trying to keep your office in mind.
Well, I don't know. Well, you can have some of this stuff here. Do you want... anything you want? You want?
I can have your.
Is that globe? that's your old office?
This
is. Bill.
Wait a minute! Did you just? Oh, no. You want my globe?
Yes.
Did you really ask me for my globe? Mom, look at what she wanted. Look, look. Do you see it?
I do. Wow. I love the globe.
Okay, you want my globe? Okay, Aaron.
But if it's going to be hard to part with, I understand.
No, it ain't that hard. But if since she begged for it on national radio. Okay, Aaron, you could have my globe.
Awesome. Oh, that's very nice. Very nice. Thank you, Bill.
Right. You can pick it up at church. I'll add it to you.
Socially distant. I'll have gloves.
Or catch it. Yeah.
Catch. All right, but be careful, though. Don't put this in the bag or something. Cause, you know. So anyway, listen, Jamal, Aaron, have a great weekend. Be safe. Everybody's listening. God bless. And we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.